herzlich willkommen zur ersten Episode des Podcasts PIO, dem Podcast des International Office der Universität Siegen. Mein Name ist Alicia Platt und meine heutige Gästin ist die DAAD-Preisträgerin Sabrina Anderson. Sie studiert im dritten Semester den internationalen Studiengang Roads to Democracy und hat letztes Jahr die studentische Initiative BIPOC Society gegründet, die sich für Antirassismus einsetzt und sowohl BIPOC als auch Nicht-BIPOC-Studierende zusammenbringt, um in den Dialog zu kommen. Sabrina gibt uns im folgenden Interview einen Einblick in ihren Alltag als Studentin und als Gründerin einer studentischen Initiative. Sie erzählt von den Vor- und Nachteilen, die ein Online-Studium zurzeit mit sich bringt, und sie beschreibt den Studienstandort Siegen auf eine Weise, die sogar für mich neu war. Und nun wünsche ich viel Spaß beim Reinhören. English Version. Hello and welcome to the first episode of PIO, the podcast of the International Office of the University of Siegen. My name is Alicia Platt, and my guest today is the DAAD award winner, Sabrina Anderson. She's in her third semester of studying Roads to Democracy and founded a student initiative last year called BIPOC Society. BIPOC Society is committed to anti-racism work and improving race relations within the University of Siegen through educational and cultural events. Sabrina gives us an insight into her daily life as a student and as a founder of a student initiative. She talks about the pros and cons of studying online and describes Siegen in a way that even I have never heard of. And now, have fun listening to her story. Hi, Sabrina. So glad to have you here on our first episode of the International Office podcast. How are you today?
I'm really, really well. Thank you, Alicia. Thank you for having me. Today is Wednesday midweek, so coming close to the weekend. I'm in good spirits. I'm feeling positive and had a nice walk this morning in minus temperatures, but it was really, really nice for like starting the day. So I'm feeling good. Thank you.
That's so good to hear. Nice. Speaking of walks, though, that means you are often at home, right? So how are your online studies going?
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I try not to complain too much about online studies because I know that it's difficult for both students and teachers, educators. I also teach and I'm currently teaching online. So I have a lot of empathy for both sides, you know, for both parties involved in this. So as a student, it's difficult, you know, because for my course in particular, Road to Democracies, it's very kind of theoretical. It's very debate focused. And so not having those kinds of personal interactions in a class, it has really changed the dynamic of the learning environment. But at the same time, I must say that last semester, was a learning curve, and this semester has been a lot better for me. I feel like the process has been a lot smoother, just simply knowing how to navigate Zoom, how to navigate Cybo, how to navigate the online platforms that we're using. This has made things a lot easier because of course we had the summer semester to practice essentially. So I really try not to complain so much. I do also like it because it's given me some flexibility with my schedule. Of course, it saves me a little bit of time traveling up to campus, and I'm now, of course, able to study and work remotely. So I can study from my partner's place, I can study from my own place, I can study, you know, from wherever I need to be, which is usually at home, but it's nice to have that kind of flexibility.
Yeah, that's a big advantage, I think, as well. And what you said earlier, I think the professors and also the students get more used to Zoom now and the situation in general. So it's getting smoother.
Definitely, definitely. And I think everyone has learned to be a little bit more patient and a little bit more empathetic during this time. I think maybe in the first semester, so last semester, in the summer semester of 2020, I think people may have had slightly unreasonable expectations of the other, you know, so why is everything not uploaded on time? Why have students not been able to navigate platforms? All the instructions were there for you and visible and available. I think with the feedback that we do at the end of each semester, where we have the opportunity to have discussions with our professors, I think with those opportunities for feedback, we've kind of been able to understand the other person's perspective and position, you know, and understand that they are also having obstacles and difficulties during this time. So I think this semester has definitely been a lot better than last semester in terms of online learning. I wouldn't want it for the duration of my studies, but I also don't think it's the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
So for the listeners, you cannot see us right now, but you can hear us. But the situation we're in right now is we're talking over Zoom. So we're not in a room together. So where are you right now? You are in Siegen, right?
I am currently in Siegen, although I'm usually not here. I'm actually just here for a couple of days just to take some things back to my partner's house. I'm usually with my partner, which is really nice because it's kind of, it's a small village with a lot of nature. And although Siegen is surrounded by nature, it's a totally different mind space that you're in when as soon as you open the door, there's just a forest there. So
exactly. Yes. Which brings me to my next question. When you first came to Siegen, what was your first thought, your first impression?
So my first impression of Siegen, okay, so before I had visited Siegen for the first time, I, of course, did a Google search. And to be honest, my Google search didn't bring out much. I still was really unsure about what Siegen had to offer. It wasn't until, I would say, okay, I don't remember exactly when it was that I visited for the first time, but I did come here while I was on a trip to Frankfurt. So I just made a short day trip. And I just remember thinking that it was something totally different, something totally new in terms of its aesthetic. It's not a place, it doesn't look like anywhere that I've lived before. So in the part, you know, I'm from London, which is a huge, huge metropolitan city. And I've also lived in New York for a while, in a city, New York, and in Madrid. So I've only ever really lived in like capital cities with a very capital city feel. And so
this must be so rural for you now.
It is. It really is. And this was something that I was really excited about because it's not a coincidence that I applied and moved here. I was looking for something more quiet. I was looking for something that allowed me to really kind of engage with my studies with less distractions. So there are a lot of people who quite understandably complain that Siegen lacks, you know, this kind of student life, and it's not very like, I don't know, it doesn't have the versatility of a student city that maybe Frankfurt or Cologne offers. But for me, I wanted somewhere with less distractions. I wanted somewhere that I could be close to nature. I wanted somewhere that I could just go outside and think without feeling pressured to speaking to someone next to me, or, you know, finding out, trying to work out what's happening with the family down the street or in the park or something like this. So for me, Siegen was a place that was ticking the boxes, you know. I also thought that it was quite a blank canvas, if that makes any sense in this context, in terms of everything just seems calm enough to be able to study, but at the same time, there's enough going on to have some inspiration, you know. So you're not living totally isolated, but at the same time, there is enough peace to engage with the things that you want to engage with.
I think that's a really beautiful description to say that Siegen is like a blank canvas. I really like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next question. You also received the DAAD award last year. So maybe our listeners don't know what that exactly is and how you got it. Do you want to tell them what the story behind that is?
Okay, so the story behind this is probably not as inspiring as you might expect, because it wasn't something that I had kind of had in my mind for any length of time. In fact, I didn't even know that the DAAD prize existed. I've never engaged with the DAAD as a body before. So I made an application for the House of Young Talents scholarship award scheme, and it was just after I had been accepted on the scholarship, I was called in for a meeting slash interview slash conversation. And I was really a little bit nervous, to be honest, because I wasn't aware that this was part of the procedure. I didn't know that there was an interview stage in applying for the scholarship. And on top of that, as I said, I'd already been awarded it. So I wondered whether they were trying to take it away from me at this point. I was really a little bit apprehensive, but in any case, I went up to campus, of course, said that I would meet this person, and yeah, just was totally unsure about what conversation lied in front of me. In the end, it was a really pleasant exchange that we had. Yeah. And somebody from the House of Young Talents team who had seen my application basically asked for my permission to put forward my information and nominate me for this DAAD prize. I was being nominated for my civil engagements. So specifically for me, this was the like social and political enterprises that I've tried to kind of initiate on campus, my attempts to build solidarity among the student body, and creating BIPOC Society, which is a student-led organization which is committed to anti-racism work and racial equality and representation of Black, Indigenous people, and people of color. So these were the kind of merits that I was awarded the prize for. But to be honest, it was a total surprise. I was extremely honored and absolutely just didn't expect it.
Yeah, congratulations again. So what are you currently working on? So what is your work about? What do you do in general?
Okay, so me, like as an individual, firstly, I am doing a few things. So of course, my studies come first. I'm also working. So I currently work under two professors as an assistant. So I'm a student assistant in the political science department. This is something that I really enjoy. I'm learning a lot along the way. So that's really, really nice. It kind of gives me a behind the scenes of what it means to be a professor. So this
sounds really interesting.
It's really, really interesting. I've had the benefit of reading some unpublished work by professors as well. And it's just been really enlightening. So I am very, very privileged and advantaged to have this opportunity afforded to me. And I'm enjoying it. So I'm studying, I'm working, and alongside that, I'm engaged politically at the university. I am currently hoping to gain a seat in the student parliament during the elections that are taking place this week. So hopefully we'll get the results of that soon, and we'll be able to kind of be involved in the kind of more structural political policy conversations and deliberations within the university. And as far as BIPOC society goes, we're doing a lot. We're really trying to kind of get our name out there. The process is like a slow and steady start. You know, there are so many administrative and bureaucratic things that needed to be done this semester before we could really kind of start hosting events. Just things that you kind of overlook, you know, when you're pitching the idea, like creating an email address, creating Facebook pages, making applications to get access to the finances, opening a bank account, and all of these things, of course, have been made a lot more difficult because of Corona.
Of course, yes.
So everything's been a little bit slower, but we've made so much progress, and I'm really excited for what will come next. In fact, next week, Wednesday, I will be hosting a talk in collaboration with SDSD Linker. So this is a BIPOC society and SDSD Linker collab. And this talk is about Black Lives Matter, the history of the Black civil rights movement, and the necessity for the campaign that exists today. So these are kind of the things that are taking my time up at the moment. And yeah, it's really nice because I feel very busy and I feel kind of very useful right now. Yeah. And it's a good feeling. It's a very good feeling.
It sounds like a lot, but you also seem to be so passionate about it.
Absolutely. I think, like, when I tell people the things that I do, even sometimes it surprises me because it doesn't always feel like I do so much. But I think the reason why my days don't feel totally overwhelming is because I do enjoy what I do. I'm not being forced into any of this, you know. Everything that I do means a lot to me. I kind of made a vow to myself a few years back, towards the end of my teenage years, that I would try my best not to just work for money anymore. You know, I wanted to, of course, this situation might change, but I wanted to, as much as I could, work in positions that really fulfilled me and work in positions that meant that I was contributing something to someone else. And so at the moment, that's what I'm able to do in all of my roles. And it's a really good feeling.
Nice. So glad to hear that. Great. So maybe some of our listeners now got curious and want to know how they can participate maybe in BIPOC society. Is there a chance for that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we are always open to kind of growing our committee members and our mediation group members, and just also informally as like people who just want to be guests and show up at some events, come to some meetings, make contributions here and there. Absolutely always open to these kind of collaborations. So I just mentioned some of the roles that we do have. So we have a committee, and there are several roles in the committee. In fact, when we move over into the new semester, we will basically be starting afresh, because many of our current committee members were writing their thesis this semester and so won't be continuing as students. So we basically are looking for our potential collaborations in many of the roles. So anyone who has or is interested in social media, we would love to have a PR person join us next semester. Anyone who's interested or has experience with economics and finance, we would love to recruit treasurers. And also just people who have a passion or a skill and they would like to work with us just on a one-off basis. This would be really, really exciting for us. So maybe you are someone who enjoys knitting. You could, you know, host a knitting workshop, or you want to teach someone your mother tongue, you know. So we could kind of facilitate a workshop space or something online so that we can just learn some nice phrases or some funny phrases or some colloquialisms in different languages. So there are absolutely different ways of getting involved, and we would really, really love to grow our team and to spread our message further. So absolutely.
So for whoever is interested now or feels inspired, I will put the contact details in the caption of this podcast. So then, the people can contact you or BIPOC Society, and we'll see how that goes. Excellent. So I think you're doing an amazing work, and I think it's really important also to spread awareness for that topic. I really love it.
Thank you.
Okay, next question. What are the best resources that have helped you along your way on your path now, regarding studies, but also regarding your life path in general?
Okay, so what comes to mind are a couple of things. I would say that I kind of would have to break this into two kind of categories. And I would break these into like an intrinsic category. So the things inside myself, which have kind of propelled me forward, and then extrinsic. And intrinsically, I would say that my best kind of resources are planning. I think that I'm quite a good planner, and I think that I have quite good organizational skills. And of course, this helps on many levels. So it helps me to organize my days from the moment I wake up. I know what I'm going to do. And also it helps to make long-term plans. So if I just make a quick example of when I was pitching and trying to establish BIPOC Society, this took a lot of planning. And of course, not everything kind of went to the schedule, but it was very necessary to try and find out who do I need to contact by when, what meetings do I need to attend, and what do I need to take with me to those meetings. So planning is really, really, it's really been a vital skill for me. And I would also say, I don't know whether to call it confidence or just optimism, because I don't always feel like the most confident person, but I do try to be as optimistic as possible. And I think that something that has really helped me is this mindset. it's kind of going into things and believing that you are capable, and also going into things being okay with rejection. I was actually just having a really nice conversation with a housemate yesterday, and saying to him that I also do some freelance work and a freelance writer. And I was also trying to explain to him that as a freelancer, you have to be okay with rejection, otherwise you will never press send on your pitch.
Yeah.
If fear cripples you to the point that you won't be able to handle a no, you will never be able to put your ideas out into the world and share them with
people. Exactly. You have to face your fears in some way.
Exactly. So I really don't know if it's the right word to call it confidence, but somehow it's this mindset. It's just saying what's the worst that can happen, you know? A no is the worst that can happen usually. And
exactly. So your glass is always half full instead of half empty.
It's sometimes half empty, but I try to look at it in other ways, you know? I try to catch myself. When I do describe it in that way, I always try to kind of self-reflect and be introspective and say, why do I see it this way? You know, why am I being so negative or pessimistic? Let's change this, Sabrina. Extrinsically, I would say that, to be honest, professors have really motivated me. There's one particular professor that I have in mind. I'm not sure if it's appropriate to name them, so I won't. But there is a professor at Ziegen who I've been interacting with since my first semester. And she's really kind of believed in me and supported me. And that's been really, really motivating. And a similar situation had occurred when I was doing my undergraduate studies. There was a professor there who kind of took me on as a mentee in an informal sense. And I feel like this is really something that propels me, because it allows me to see where I could be in the future. And it allows me to kind of imagine myself doing the things that I want to be doing. So
yes,
this is really a good resource also.
Yeah, that's what I also find important, is when you have people having your back, you know, like people supporting you, not just in your friends group or in your family, but also in a professional way, who are kind of a mentor for you. And I think that also that makes a really big impact of someone's career even, or on someone's thinking and someone's life.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think this mentor-mentee relationship is really kind of understated in higher education. I think there should be a lot more emphasis on trying to build these types of relationships, because I think the skills and lessons that you learn from having a mentor, even when it's an informal one, I think you can take them with you throughout the rest of your life, and they're really, really invaluable. So this is something that I would also encourage at the university, for this relationship to be to be pushed more on different levels.
Okay. I noted. That's noted. So speaking of supportive people or influential people, who are the three people in your life that have influenced you the most? What would you say?
Okay, I'm going to be really honest here, and I'm going to say that this is actually a really difficult question, because of course, you know, throughout my life there have been several people whose stories have inspired me, but I would say only kind of fleetingly. There have never been any stories that have stayed with me throughout my life and have constantly reminded me of my potential. So I have to just answer this. Maybe it's cliche, maybe it's not, but it's my honest truth. The one person who has inspired me is my mum. Yeah, absolutely. She was a single parent, and she raised me and my brother totally alone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the things that she achieved, and the things that I've seen her accomplish, those are the things that have stayed with me, and those are the things that have made me always want to push further and further and further. So when I think of strength, I absolutely think of her. To me, those are totally synonymous. So I would have to say my mum, and honestly, to name two other people, I feel like it would take away from what I give to my mom. So it's just my mom.
Fair enough. And a shout out to all the moms out there who are doing an amazing job, by the way.
Yeah,
it's great. Sabrina, thank you. You showed us really insight in your life and your thoughts. Thank you for that. I really, really appreciate that. And I'm really happy to have you here. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners? Or
I mean, I guess I would just, if I could encourage people to leave this session, that at the end of this podcast, if they could leave with one message, it would really be to encourage students to try and build networks of solidarity among one another. And of course, for me, my drive is identity, and particularly race and gender. At the university, I'm focusing on race, and it's really important for me that people stick up for each other. When you mm-hmm. can see that something is wrong, or is making someone in your class feel bad, or that, you know, materials are being distributed which are potentially offensive, or that, you know, documents are being published only in one language and excluding such a large population of the student body, I think more people should speak out about this, and more people should challenge it. Because when it's left only to the people who are affected by it, our voices are less heard. So I think that everyone should try to look around them and evaluate what they enable, you know, what they are allowing to happen around them, and start to just work together, and we can really make the university a nicer, safer, more equal environment for everyone.
Yes. And I have nothing more to add to that. That's a good final point. And with this, I want to say goodbye and thank you again, Sabrina.
Thank you so much for having me, Alicia. It was really a pleasure to speak, and I hope some of my words ring true with someone, or yes, make a difference.
Yes, I'm sure it will. And again, I will put the contact details of BIPOC Society and of you, if you agree to, in the caption.
Absolutely.
Below.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.